Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? It was Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, and we got our talk on about Mrs. Kiara Sheard, and she's married now, for those of you who haven't heard, and yes, she's happily married, and there was some advice that came from her mom in regards to, you know, some of the do's and don'ts of your marriage. And mom said that, hey, when it comes to your friends, do not let your friends stay in the same home with your husband. That way you don't have to worry about any temptation and any shenanigans. And, you know, if you want to be nice, put them in a hotel room. Put them in a hotel room. This way, you know, there's no temptation for your husband. And, you know, don't have too many people around your house. I don't care how much you trust them. I don't care whatever's going on. Just be mindful and careful of what you do. And, you know, she said that during an interview. You know, Kiara shared that with, you know, her interviewer, and she received some sort of backlash. Now, why are we always the first ones to become all twisted, you know, when it comes to our, you know, church folk? Why are we always the ones that are there? And, you know, she received some backlash, you know, well, what's wrong with you as a Christian? You should be able to trust your husband. Isn't that why you got married? And what's the matter with you? The world has told us that we can't trust our husbands. And, you know, as Christian people, we should be able to step out on faith and, you know, in other words, put your husband in the same house with your girlfriends, with your cousins, with this ones, with that ones. And the Due Time crew definitely disagreed. You know, there's an issue of, you know, hey, it's your business. It's your marriage. Whatever the, you know, marital agreement is, whatever the agreement is between the husband and the wife, the man and the woman, and the two people of the home, leave them alone. Leave them alone. And, you know, it's you know, Pastor Charlene definitely said that, you know, she kind of learned the hard way. And do you want to wait until you learn the hard way before you take up this guidance, this counsel. Listen, Mama been married for a whole lot of years. And I say, who knows why she says, hey, girl, keep him out your house. If you want to, you know, have him over, that's fine for dinner or whatever, but ain't no spending no night. And as my mom always said, you ain't got no friends. So, you know, in all honesty, you just don't try. You know, as they said yesterday, you don't put a stake in front of the lion and, you know, dare the lion not to touch. You know, listen, people are people. The flesh is the flesh. And, yes, we would love to believe that every husband is definitely trustworthy. Our friends are trustworthy. Our family, you know, is trustworthy. But the bottom line is, you don't know people until they're in a certain situation. And, oh, boy, are we finding out the hard way. So, you know, I'm sorry, you know, for those of you who are Christian, who feel like Christian people, you know, all of Christian people have boundaries, because that sure ain't the issue. You know, that's not the point, and that's not factual. So if she has decided to take mom's advice, and that's the part that got to me. You know, it wasn't like this was some stray woman off the street. This was her mother's advice. Leave her alone. Let her take her mother's advice. Whether you agree or disagree, ain't none of your business. And you know what? They'll probably be married an extra 25 years for taking that one piece of advice. So, you know, that's how we spent our Tuesday. Let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. And I advise you to take the same advice. Mm-hmm. So today is Wow Wednesday. Yes, God has been so great. He has ushered us into the half of the week. We're already halfway through the week. You know, some people call it hump day, and it's hard to get over this part of the day, and this part of the week, I should say. And you know what? It's Wow Wednesday. So we don't even think about the fact that it's hump day and it's hard to get over, you know, this part of the week, because we're just coming from the beginning of the week. We're going in the second half of the week. We're going to just give God thanks. Give God thanks that here we are on this side of the grave, and we are healthy and we are well. And, you know, things may not be all that we would like it to be, but God has definitely given us, you know, the blessing of just being here. And how blessed are we? Everybody is safe and sound. You know how it goes. Well, you know how Wednesdays go over here on this Due Tower, Pastor Steph. We are loaded. Oh, we have our girlfriend Vivian, who's going to bring us our socially conscious segment. We have our women of worship, Elder Natisha Moore, Lady Tamika Evans-Jones, and our pastor, Kim Brooks, will be joining us today. And we will be closing down with our Faith Over Fear segment with our pastor, Charlene Beard. So, I mean, it's Ladies Day. It's Ladies Day over here on his Due Time with Pastor Steph. So I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm getting ready to sit back and enjoy myself and have this conversation, whatever it is that Vivian's going to be bringing to us this morning, because she always turns up every Wednesday morning for us here just with her socially conscious news. And I can't wait to get to talking with the ladies. And listen, go get that healthy breakfast. You know how we do. Go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on and it's Wild Wednesday. And make sure you go nowhere because we'll be right back.
We know the cause for some birth defects, but for most, we don't. That's because we think most birth defects are caused by a complex mix of factors. There are some factors that can increase the chance of having a baby with a birth defect. These are called risk factors and include smoking, drinking alcohol, or taking certain street drugs during pregnancy, having certain medical conditions such as obesity or uncontrolled diabetes, taking certain medications such as some acne drugs, having someone in your family with a birth defect, being an older mother, typically over 34, and exposure to some chemicals and viruses during pregnancy. Having one or more of these factors doesn't necessarily mean your baby will have a birth defect. It is important to talk to your doctor about what you can do to improve your chances to have a healthy baby.
Well, good morning again, and welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wild Wednesday over here. Are we raising the roof yet that God has brought us safely through another 2-3 days into the week? Oh, to see the beautiful sun, to smell the beautiful air. And we're on with our friends and family over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And I'm excited. I always get excited during this time of the week. The women always stimulate me. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I hope you're getting, you know, you've gotten settled. And we're going to get our girl Vivian on this line so she can give us a socially conscious segment. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor?
I am well. Thank you, Viv. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm not raising the roof because it's Wednesday. I'm crip walking in honor of the Super Bowl.
All right. All righty. Yes, yes, yes. Go L.A. Go L.A. Yes. What you got for us today, Viv?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, we're going to take a look at the COVID numbers for the week. Top 5 states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are California is still number one with 193,681 cases. That is an increase of over 25,000 cases since last week's report. Texas is number two with 89,139 cases. Excuse me. That is a decrease of over 87,000 cases since last week. Florida is number three with 70,404 cases. That is a decrease of over 54,000 cases since last week's report. Number four is Washington with 42,827 cases. That is a decrease of over 30,000 cases since last week's report. And Kentucky is number five with 38,514 cases. Kentucky has not been in our top five since the start of the pandemic. So as we can see, the numbers are still pretty high for the most part, but most of the states saw some decreases this week outside of California. And we have a new entry with Kentucky in the top five this week. I don't know. I don't really think the numbers are doing that well, in my opinion. And now for our next story Your girl, Sha'Carri Richardson, is back in the news. They're talking about her response regarding a fellow Olympian being allowed to perform after failing a drug test. So as we know, Sha'Carri Richardson was not allowed to run during the Tokyo Olympics last year after testing positive for marijuana. And news got out that Kamila Valieva was allowed to compete in the Beijing Games after she failed a drug test as well, but not for marijuana. Valieva tested positive for the brand drug trimetazine, which is a medicine usually used to treat angina attacks, which is a very severe chest pain. But this drug is also known to improve endurance in athletes. So Valieva was found, they found this drug back in December, and when they found out, they immediately suspended her from the game. But the powers that be reversed the decision on Monday, just in time for her to compete in Tuesday's singles figure skating event. Well, Richardson says the only difference she sees is that she's a young black lady.
Did we lose you, Viv? Did we lose you? Because if you're talking, we sure can't hear you. Oh, we got our glitch for the morning. So, Vivian, if you can hear us, just hang up and call back, and we'll resume our socially conscious segment. We're so sorry that we've got this interruption this morning. Well, while Vivian hangs up and calls back, I want to talk about COVID numbers.
I mean, come on.
Vivian, we didn't hear anything past that Sha'Carri was upset because she was the other young lady was allowed to participate. So you're going to have to go back for us.
Okay. Yes, she was upset because they allowed her to participate in ice skating. So Valieva was found to be, she failed her drug test for testing positive for trimetazine, which is a medicine they use for angina attacks, which is basically a severe chest pain. But it's also a drug known to help improve endurance in athletes. So Valieva failed her drug test back in December, and when they found out, they immediately suspended her from the game. But the powers that be reversed the decision on Monday, paving the way for Valieva to compete on Tuesday's single figure skating event. While Richardson said that the only difference she sees is that she's a young black lady. She said, quote, "Can we get a solid answer on the difference of her situation and mine? My mother died and I can't run. And I was also favorited to place top three," end quote. So what do you think? Do you think that these two situations are the same? Do you think they should have had the same results? I personally think that it was pretty disrespectful for them to allow one to compete and not the other, regardless of the drug they were using that caused them to fail the drug test. If failing a drug test means that you are disqualified, then Valieva should have been disqualified also. It was definitely like a slap in the face to allow one woman to compete and not the other, especially during Black History Month. Like, that was just disrespectful.
Well, you know what?
Now for some interesting news. U.S. is reportedly the least educated state in the year 2022. This is according to a new report from the Wallet Hub, which found the most and least educated states in the U.S. So they compared all 50 states based on 18 measurements, including adults age 25 and older, with at least a high school diploma, quality of school system, public high school graduation rates, and math and reading tests. These are some of the things that they looked at, and the results are in. And can you guess who scored the highest? It was Massachusetts. They are number one, followed by Maryland. And I know someone who will be very proud to hear that. Connecticut is number three. Colorado is number four. And Vermont is number five. And New York ranked number 13, surprisingly, at least to me anyway. And the least educated state was West Virginia, ranking at number 50. So that's just a bit of interesting news that I found and I thought I'd share. And while we are on the topic of education, the New York City Department of Education is set to spend $323 million to help schools make up for the funds lost because of low attendance rate. The DOE says this $323 million will help cover basic costs, including teacher salaries. Reports say that 78% of the money is drawn from the city, while the remainder comes from federal coronavirus relief funds. They say since funding is calculated by student population, principals have been dealing with a lot of issues financially, saying they're basically covering the salaries of teachers who they don't necessarily need this year. Reports say that 23% of city schools lost at least 10% of their kids this year. Fort Hamilton High School in Brooklyn was one of the highest recipients to receive a portion of that money after losing 400 students this year, according to state data, which is about 8% of their total population. And I have to say, I'm honestly confused. I know attendance rates have been down, but we have heard stories here, such as the one that we brought a while ago, where pretty much the entire school was kept in the auditorium because they didn't have enough staff to cover the amount of students in the school. So for them to say they're paying for teachers that they don't necessarily need this year doesn't make sense. There's obviously a shortage in teachers. There's obviously a need for teachers. So I think that this money is being used or given in a good manner. I'm also confused as to why crack pipes, if you remember our story from last year, why the crack pipes is deemed more necessary than the teachers, that you're giving $30 billion to fund crack pipes and $323 million to fund our schools. The way they're spending this money and giving out money in this government is just ridiculous to me. But maybe this will mean some good news for the schools and for the students, not necessarily for the teachers, though, because they're not talking about raising their pay. They're just talking about covering their salaries. But, hey, the money is coming. So what's Black History Month to students without a Black History Month assignment? So parents in Indianapolis are frustrated with the school district after they say a classroom project went too far at Fall Creek Valley Middle School. According to the school, students were told they could draw a picture showing different ways of life in northern and southern states back in the 1800s. But one student called her mom and dad after she was very disturbed by the assignment that her teacher gave her. She said the teacher told the class they can only draw a Black person picking cotton and a white person working with machinery. And in response to the outrage, the school sent home a statement saying, quote, "The assignment in question does not reflect the commitment of our school and demonstrates poor judgment. School and district officials are involved and have communicated with both the teacher and the family who came forward with concerns," end quote. It has not been reported what or if there will be any disciplinary actions toward this teacher, but are we really surprised? It seems like every single year, someone somewhere steps out of bounds, and it's really, really getting old. I mean, you can't say, oh, I didn't think anything of it. Like, really? This is just, it's just ridiculous at this point. And now for our wow story of the week. A mother in Georgia is speaking out after having to face criminal charges for allowing her teenage daughter to babysit her siblings. So back when the pandemic first began, a woman by the name of Melissa Henderson was facing some issues with the lack of child care. She is a single mother of five children, including the oldest, who was 14 at the time. Reports say she went to work and left her 14-year-old daughter in charge when her 4-year-old son wandered to their neighbor's house while the daughter was on Zoom for class. The reports say that the neighbor called the police. Mom says the police took the incident report and they left. They were very understanding about the situation. But about a week later, police came back to arrest her, and she is now being charged with criminal reckless charges and now faces jail time. And I brought this story up because we are constantly talking about how little authority parents have nowadays. And for this mother to be facing jail time for allowing her 14-year-old daughter to babysit is absolutely ridiculous. Of course, I did some research, and in Georgia and many other states, children 13 years and older who are at an adequate level of maturity may be left alone and may perform the role of a babysitter as authorized by the parent for up to 12 hours. That's the law in Georgia and in many other states. So I'm not understanding why they came back to arrest her. I'm not understanding why she's facing criminal charges, because she didn't do anything wrong. We brought last week the stories about the father who lost rights to his kids, who got his kids taken away because he refused to be vaccinated. Now we're bringing this story of a mother who can possibly be going to jail because she did nothing, basically. Her daughter was over the age, they said 13, her daughter's 14. So they're just taking the justice system and just using it for foolishness and just wasting taxpaying dollars and just wasting time. And I'm just not understanding it. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me. My username on Facebook is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. You know, I wanted to immediately jump on how it's not surprising that in California, where the Super Bowl took place, that mm-hmm. their numbers were outrageous because, you know, as we saw, all those people in the arena, and how many people did we see with some face masks on? Not many.
None. So, not a one.
Yeah, so, you know, you're looking at almost 200,000 people, and it's not surprising. You know, thank God some of the mm-hmm. other numbers are coming down, and, you know, that's a plus. That's definitely a plus. So we want to say thank you, Vivian, for bringing us our Socially Conscious segment this morning. Have a blessed day.
You're welcome. Thank you. You too.
Thank you. All right. Well, you know what we do with the Socially Conscious news. We get our ladies involved. And let's say good morning to our Elder Nitesha. Hold on. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, beautiful lady. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, well, thank you. How are you?
I am great, thank you. Excited to be on with my sister.
Yes, yes, and happy to have you on with us this morning. So I'm going to leave it up to you to talk about one of these socially conscious stories. Which one grabs your attention this morning?
I guess the situation with the mother and the 14-year-old, and what was it, the baby? How old was the baby? 4 years old?
Yeah, somewhere around there, yes.
Mhm. Yeah, yeah. If, you know, I think that the problem with that scenario is where the story said that the 14-year-old was in school. She was on Zoom. So technically, you couldn't leave the child with the 14-year-old because your 14-year-old was in school, right? So again, this, to me, emphasizes the, you know, some of the issues that we're having with, you know, our kids being able to pay attention and, you know, in school and during Zoom and stuff like that, because how could you think that your 14-year-old, even though she was of age, that she would be able to properly watch her sibling if she's supposed to be paying attention in school? So I think that's what the issue is. Now, do I think that the penalty matches the crime? I do not. I don't think that this mom deserves jail time for that, but I can see where the discrepancy is coming in at, because, yeah, the child was of legal age. However, I think the problem is that that child was occupied and did not have the ability to be watching the child. So it's technically, you left that 4-year-old by itself. Just because she was in the house, in a room, doesn't mean that you left the child in her care.
Okay, point well taken, point well taken. All right. I'm going to get the other ladies to talk about that one as well, even though they may choose something else. I want to talk about that because that raises a very good point, Eldon and Aitisha. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, you know, we're not thinking pretty much, you know, I didn't hear Vivian raise the issue of the courts or the police or whomever that the baby got out of the house, and talking that part, I could, you know, definitely see if they said, hey, you know what, the endangerment of a child got out, so therefore, but I guess going back to the origin of this whole thing, it is a point that, you know, it you left her with, you know, some other children, and I want to get your ladies to talk about this. As a matter of fact, let's get Lady Tamika on the phone and or on the line and see what she has to say. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday.
How are you over there?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm coming along. Thank you. I'm coming along. Thank you. Well, Eldon and Aitisha gave us a jump start into our mom who was arrested in the state of Georgia for leaving her 14-year-old daughter in the home while the 14-year-old had to tend to her remote learning. And she has other siblings in the home. She left babysitting. And now they've arrested her for reckless endangerment of a child. What's your thought? What's your thought? And Eldon and Aitisha brought up a different point that Vivian talked about.
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, let's think realistically. You know, the price of child care or child maintenance while you're working, it's pricey, and we're talking about a woman who has not one, but not even two, 5 children, you know, and so you've got to find a venue for each one, you know, maybe an after school for the older one, you know, and depending on the mental capacity of the other children, you know, depending on what they're, you know, into, you know, some other venue. And that's a lot to ask one mother to do, you know. And I remember, you know, in my household, there were only 2 of us. It was my brother and myself. And I know for a fact that I was, you know, younger than, you know, what people would think legally for, you know, children to be in a home, you know, but that was something that we did, you know. And the thing was, you know, you didn't answer the door, you didn't answer the phone, you know, and you did what you needed to do. However, you know, you're asking a 14-year-old who's in school to watch all of these children. And again, you know, children do things, you know. Even I remember as a child, we had a minor fire because my brother decided to take one of his toys and hit it, you know, he had it up against the light bulb in another room, and I'm in the kitchen doing something, and I happen to come back in the room and see, you know, a toy on fire. You know, things like that can happen when you leave children with children. And you have to be, you have to know that sometimes the unexpected will happen. You know, do I feel that she needs jail time for that? No. You know, she was doing the best that she could. You know, and I think in her mind, you know, leaving the children with a 14-year-old, you know, in an area, you know, where 14-year-old is legal, you know, would be accurate. But again, we're talking about children, and things can happen within a second.
All right, all right. Thank you so much. Let's get to our Pastor Kim and see what she has to say. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to all of you. How are you all this morning?
Well, thank you. I'm well.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Doing well.
How are you?
I am good. I am good. Thanks for asking.
Good, good. So what's your thought here, Pastor Kim, with this babysitter who's 14 years old with five children and four other children in the house, and you're supposedly on school, on your remote learning lesson? What's your thought?
You know, I feel like, you know, I think about myself at the age of 14, you know, that was conceiving a child, you know, at 14. So, and that was 40-something years ago. So you, to bring us up to speed now, in this day and time, 14-year-olds are pretty much, you know, on a high spectrum. I would say 14-year-olds are premature for their age, not to justify or say that it's good for children to be left at home. But I think in this day and time, you will see a lot of children, 12, 13, 14. This lady at my job was telling me how she, her mother died at a very young age, and she raised all eight of her siblings, you know, very young, maybe about that age. Yeah. So, you know, I get it. You know, yes, child care is, it's very expensive. You know, if this woman was found out somewhere, maybe the parent, if she was out somewhere getting high or somewhere at a club or doing something, you know, reckless that she shouldn't have been doing, leaving, you know, the 14-year-old with the children, you know, I can understand, you know, her being reprimanded for something like that. But if she was doing something positive or just out trying to make something happen, you know, doing something, you know, that was, you know, just not something that, you know, that she shouldn't have been doing, then I can understand it. I can't see her facing any criminal time or, you know, it being a court case or something, maybe a warning or probation or something to that effect, but nothing as far as maybe going to jail or something like that, I don't think should happen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Kim. Here's my thought, ladies. Okay, so we get that you can't, you know, expect a child who's in school to monitor four other children, especially someone who's as young as four. And it's a tough decision, but a decision that unfortunately has to be made, because you have to think about the safety of the children, and it's hard, you know, when you have to juggle all of this. And my question is, when you locked her up, where'd the kids go? Where the kids went?
That's exactly.
You walked up on this woman,
right,
in the middle of the day and said, okay, we're going to arrest you. What was happening to the five kids? Now, you didn't already said that the one could go to school and she couldn't watch the other four, but now all five children. Now, you know, you got to have a better plan than this. You know, for somebody to say, okay, go and arrest her. you know, not even, well, you know what, let's send, you know, everywhere it calls it something different, but Child Protective Services over, and let's work with this mom and get her some help and, you know, see what we can do. No, you go and arrest her, and now ain't nobody, when you walked up on this house with five kids in it, what was she supposed to do at that point? Who was watching them kids? Who was running? Did you have to go get a neighbor who has to watch all five children and maybe that neighbor couldn't keep the kids? It has to be a better plan. You know, again, the point well taken that you cannot, you know, leave this one child with all of these children because it wasn't safe at the end of the day. It wasn't something that, you know, it wasn't the best idea. And as a single mother, you know, I understand the challenges, but you got to have a better plan in this. I'm sorry. And now you've got these children ripped from their mother. Good Lord. It's just got to be something different. Yeah. Just got to be something different. And I guess I'm just
talking about the neighbor.
What'd you say?
I said, but can we talk about that neighbor, the neighbor who actually called the cops? How good
right.
of a neighbor is you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Who, you know what? I'm going to tell you what kind of neighbor she was, probably, Elder Nyetisha. She was tired of looking at the kids, tired of hearing the kids play. Kids was getting on the nerves. Remember now, this four-year-old that migrated over to our house. How many times has that happened? So now you're going to teach Mama a lesson. That's probably what that was about. Probably that what that was about. And I agree with you. You know, why would you bother to call? Again, opposed to helping, you know, again, it takes a village. And this is what the village is doing. We in trouble, ladies. We in trouble. Lady Tamika, which story are you jumping on this morning?
I actually wanted to talk about Kentucky. You know, Kentucky hasn't been on the chart of the five. And I was actually amazed, you know, what are people in Kentucky doing that now they've hit the top five? It's just my curiosity. Like, you know, are you having, you know, COVID parties? Just a little curiosity. What is it that you're doing that, you know, you were for, I mean, we've been doing this since COVID started and we haven't heard that state at all. I didn't even realize at one point that, you know, it was on the charts, but like, for you to be up there, what are you doing? So that was just my curiosity.
Well, it's funny because I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, where y'all come from? You know, what's taking place
exactly.
over there? It did actually cross my mind. I was like, Kentucky, you know, whether they've become more lax, you know, and figuring they don't have to mask up or they don't have to, you know, socially distanced or, you know, we don't know what even in their state has shifted, if anything has shifted, that now has aided the increase of these COVID numbers. Because when Vivian said Kentucky, I already knew they had never been on the list. I write this list every week, and I knew they had not been. So my fear, Lady Tamika, is are we going to start seeing new states, because we hadn't seen Washington.
Exactly.
Before last week. So my question is, are we going to start to become more lax and now that's going to now, you know, cause us to see these numbers rise? So I would say let's keep these pads and pens going and see what Vivian continues to bring from week to week. Pastor Kim, it's on you. What story are we attacking this morning?
You know, I was thinking about, you know, that funding, you know, the money that they're allocating for the school systems. I'm just a little concerned about the way that they're moving this money around, you know, for things that just to me, you know, that I think personally that they should be paying the educators more, you know, because of the fact that we're not just educators, but, you know, it's like we're babysitters, you know. We have the children more time than the families have the children to impart it to them. And it's like they just seem to continue to overlook us, you know, and they're constantly overworking us and underpaying us. So, you know, all of this money that's going into this and that and all of this other stuff. No, they need to be paying the people that are teaching the children.
And point well taken, Pastor Kim. Here was my thought, and didn't y'all just get rid of a whole bunch of teachers? And a whole bunch of teachers
right.
just got finished quitting?
Yes.
What's your thought on that? Now you pulling out all this money.
That's what I'm saying. And they're short. They don't even have enough peer educators. They don't have, I mean, they have such a shortage with teachers. So, I mean, I just don't get it. Make it make sense. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they seem to be doing a poor job with making anything make sense, Pastor Kim. You know, when I heard Vivian say, you know, it was just to cover the teachers' salaries, not even an increase of the teachers' salaries and things like that, you know, it does become concerning because, you know, what are you going to do to keep these people motivated, you ladies, you gentlemen, motivated to continue to push through this pandemic and get out here and you're doing remote learning and then you're doing in-person teaching and, you know, it's a back and forth, up and down. And you've got to do something to keep the educators motivated because if they don't stay motivated, we in trouble. And we already hear the stories. We do so many stories here, Pastor Kim, during the week of what's happening with the teachers. Not only are they losing it in the classroom, they're losing it at home. Let's talk about
that
for a little bit.
That's the truth. That is it's so true. You know, because everybody is, you know, in this time of uncertainty, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring, not knowing, you know, if you're going to continue to have a job, you know, being overworked, underpaid, you know, dealing with your own life situations, you know, dealing with, you know, losing so many people in your families. And, you know, it's just been a very, very stressful time, you know. So you're right. They need to be, they need to try to make as many incentives or you know, in which they have done some things as far as pandemic pay and things of that nature or whatever. But, you know, we are just in a time that and a season in life that you have really just got to know God, you know, because and everything that's going on, all you have is your faith. And you got to continue
right.
to walk by faith and not by sight, because if you look at what the news is saying, if you look at what's going on in the world, if you look at all of these things that are happening around you, you would very well, I mean, if you didn't have a God or just faith in your higher being, then you would lose your mind. Really.
And they are. And that's what's happening, Pastor Kim. They're losing their mind.
Yeah.
They are literally
yeah.
losing it. And you're absolutely right. You know, we always talk here. We make, you know, have our little hashtag, this is why we need Jesus, because that's the
yeah.
only way we're really holding it together. You're absolutely, absolutely right. Thank you
yeah.
for that. Ladies, I want to talk about Miss Sha'Carri Richardson. I'm so tired of hearing about what she thinks and what color her hair is and how her hair is being styled, and I'm tired. The other day, I did see this article when I saw the young lady. They had a single article about the young lady who had failed the test for this angina medication, but it's also a steroid. And I was like, okay. It wasn't just Sha'Carri Richardson. There were other ones who were, you know, removed for failing drug tests. And now that's all they needed to do was give her some ammunition to come back and say, hey, you kicked me out for smoking weed. Now you don't get rid of her for this other drug. What's the difference? Now, ladies, let me say this before you start. Here's my issue with her statement. She said, you got rid of me because my mother died and I smoked weed. See, that part there is the part that annoyed me. Stop. Just stop. If you're going to raise the issue of a drug versus a drug, that's fine. But come on now. Come on. I'm going to start with you, Lady Tamika. What's going on here?
All right. So this is the same female that a while back, you know, posted, "Miss me yet?" You know, the gall of her, you know, it's like, you know, I don't, basically what she's saying is I don't want you to forget me. So I'm just going to keep putting my face, my information, my attitude, my disposition out there. Now, here's the thing. This young lady has angina. That's something that's a health issue. It's almost as though you feel like you're having a heart attack. And so she's doing something to take care of a physical pain that she can't avoid. And I get the fact that you lost your mother. You're not the first person on the face of this earth that has lost a parent. However, there are more constructive things that she could have done than smoked weed, you know, and now you're trying to legitimize your issue with this lady's issue, you know, and now you're trying to make it a color thing. And I don't think that it is a color thing. It might be. However, the type of drug that you utilize to soothe your pain is not the same thing that this lady utilized to soothe something that is literally her physical pain, you know, and it's almost at the point you can't function. And so she utilized this particular drug. And so I'm just really tired of this young lady because, you know, I feel like you're just trying to use your situation to keep it in front of somebody's face. And I think you just really need to sit down and be humble.
All right, all right. Pastor Kim, what say you about this young lady and her quote-unquote argument?
Well, I can't really say a whole lot about her because I'm not really familiar with her, but the only thing I can say in regards to that situation is that, you know, people always want to justify, you know, and compromise with the actions and the choices that they make in life, you know. And I just feel like, you know, it's all about being fair and about doing things right. You know, I mean, this marijuana thing, I mean, since they've legalized it, it has just... It's just been crazy across the board. You know, we had, what's his name, white boy Rick, you know, they showing him opening up this big thing, you know, with all his marijuana plants and everything. You know, it's really just sad. And they act like, I mean, it's like people are just carrying on with this marijuana thing like it's like drinking water. It's no big deal, you know, but a drug is a drug, you know, and it, just because they've legalized it, it doesn't necessarily make it right, you know, because you're still contaminating your temple. But, yeah. So as far as her situation, you know, if she, I don't know. It's right is right and wrong is wrong. That's, I'm going to just leave it at that.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Kim. Elder Natisha, what's your thought?
You know, I mean, I think in the investigation, they needed to determine whether or not she actually has angina, right? So I think the purpose for which the drug is being used for, you know, may have been a part of the investigation. And so now if you're using something that, yes, has these other abilities, but the purpose of your usage for it is because you actually do have a physical condition, then I think that does, you know, differentiate between the person who just is, you know, smoking weed because that's just, you know, something that they do, you know, for fun or is a practice of theirs. I think that the two are very different. So your statement, it just, you sound ignorant, right? And I think, unfortunately, it's the ignorance that actually got you disqualified, right? The fact
that
you know that to be a part of the Olympics that you have to undergo drug testing. So it's the same just ignorant mentality that you continue to just project. We continue to see it. So we identify that this is what got you kicked out in the first place, and you still proving the point. That sound like me.
Absolutely. And you know, like I said, you know, I could, when I saw the article that she had, you know, had made this statement, you know, immediately, you know, I remembered her, like I said, because I've seen subsequent articles since we've spoken about her hair and how she wears her hair natural. And who cares? But I knew, like I said, I knew when I saw the separate article about the young lady with the angina and this and that, and it could actually be a steroid as well. I knew that, you know, there was going to be some issues raised because, you know, not only were there others disqualified and removed, but they were also African-American people. And I knew that would come up. And, you know, you just keep your fingers crossed that when you open up your mouth, you just going to sound like somebody and sound like something. You know, like you said, Elder Nazi, just be quiet. If you just can't make sense, if you can't sound intelligent. And like I said, even I would have been okay with her even raising, you know, hey, look, here we go with the disparaging this decision. You know, and her challenging that. I could even see that. But when you went as far as it's about, well, you know, well, when my mother died and I smoked weed, oh, you just killed me. You just killed me there because no matter how you look at it, that's a recreational drug. And I say again that your mama dying was not the first time you smoked no weed. Because I'm sorry, I just lost my mother. I'm in some kind of world, my brain ain't functioning halfway, but I ain't reaching for no weed.
Okay.
You know, and that's what I said back then. I was like, I'm sorry. You know, we don't, when I wasn't in the Lord, I wouldn't be reaching for no weed if that's not something that you were already doing. So now, like you said, Elder Nitesha, Lady Tamika, just be quiet. Go sit down in the corner, close your mouth, and just stop acting like you're as ignorant as you are. Just pretend like you got a little bit of sense going on over there, and help us look all right. Help us look all right. You know, let's see her, you know, get something in the news that's more, you know, positive and things like that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, since she's been in the news, it has never really been anything positive subsequent to, you know, her initially being put out there. So thank you, ladies. I was doing some little digging yesterday, and I was trying to figure out what we were going to talk about. And you know what? We always end up walking into this business here with Vivian. And I saw an article. And the article was about the enemies of your soul. Ooh. And I was like, ooh, this here? I know the ladies are going to really enjoy talking about this particular topic, because as we, you know, talk about these particular news stories, if we look at regular, you know, the things that are going on in our lives, if we look about the things that are going on in this world, we really realize that there's some enemies to our soul. And one of the things that they mention is the enemy of sin. The enemy of sin. Elder Natisha, why don't you get us started with that, please?
Absolutely. Sin is absolutely an enemy because sin separates you from God. And I think anything that separates you from God absolutely is an enemy to your joy, to your happiness, to your ability to understand your purpose, your reasoning for being here. It robs you of your ability to have a guide to help you through the ups and downs of life. And so sin, in its separating your ability to hear God, your ability to sense God, your ability to identify God, it separates you from God, and that absolutely does damage.
Amen, amen, amen. Lady Tamika, what do we want to say about the enemy of sin being an enemy of our soul?
Definitely. The enemy has an agenda, you know, and it could start off as something as subtle as a suggestion, or because we are human, sometimes it can present itself as a response, you know. And, you know, sin is lurking everywhere, and because we are human, we react to certain things, and sometimes, you know, in our thoughts and actions, you know, you have to stop things in the thought of it. You know, somebody does something to you, and your knee-jerk reaction is to respond a certain way. And so we have to pray daily, you know, before we go to bed, because the enemy's waiting before you can even wake up. You know, something that happened last night, or, you know, especially, you know, in the home, you know, when you're talking about a spouse, that type of relationship, or even family relationships, you know, parent and child, you know, just those things that we engage in our home, the enemy can strike, you know, in your workplaces, in your churches, you know, it only takes a little bit, just a little spark to start a whole entire roaring fire. And it is important that we stay in tune with God so that we don't sin, you know, we stop it in its tracks before it becomes the fire.
Good stuff. Pastor Kim, we're talking about the enemies of our soul, and the first one we're attacking is sin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, you know, that's the enemy's job, to kill, to steal, and destroy, you know. And so if the devil can have you so discombobulated and consumed in your sin, you know, then he got you. You know, and that's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Because, yes, if you get yourself consumed in sinful acts and sinful things, you know, this is how the enemy, you know, the Bible says the devil desires to sift us as wheat. So what he does is he doesn't do it all at one time, you know. And just like a person that backslides when they leave God, people that know God and have been in relationship with God, you know, what happens is, you know, you'll find yourself in a sinful state, you know, because it started off with, you know, you just listening. You were listening to gospel music, but now you're listening to R&B music, or you're listening to those love songs and the smooth jazz and the different things that keep your mind off of the things of God. Then the next thing you know, you over there sipping on a little wine, and then after you start sipping on a little wine, then you figure, let me call Jody on over. You know, ain't nothing wrong with having a little company, you know, and the enemy makes you compromise and justify your actions, and then the next thing you know, you're all the way back out into the world, you know. So, yes, sin is a stench. You know, the smell of sin is a stench to God's nostrils, and sin stinks. It's ugly, you know, and it'll have you, you know, looking bold, because he's an accuser of the brother, and he already wants us to be looking bad and clean, and, you know, go to God like, yep, I told you about your praise team leader. I told you about the woman of God. They ain't saved like they supposed to be. Look at how they doing X, Y, and Z. And so that's why we have to be so careful to not let our good be evil spoken of, you know, and continue to live a life that's pleasing before God.
Amen, amen, amen. Oh, I like this one. Oh, we're talking about the enemies of your soul, the world. Ooh, Lady Tamika, take that one.
So the world has so many different ideals of how we should live our lives, what we should do, how we should look, how we should appeal, you know. And, you know, it'll drive you crazy, you know, reading magazines of how, you know, you should live your life. Don't conform to what the world says, because the world will have you losing your mind, trying to keep up with the standards of this and that. God created you to be a certain way, and so we are a peculiar people. So if you stand out, what's wrong with that? You're supposed to stand out. You're supposed to be attractive to other people in your spirit, so that they can see the difference, the God in you. Have a standard, and that standard should be the God standard that allows people to be attracted to you and attracted to God, and therefore change the lives of those that are coming towards you or around you that don't necessarily know the way.
All right, all right. Pastor Kim, the enemy of our soul, the world.
Absolutely, you know, because the world can be an enemy to you if you don't continue to remember that we are in the world, but we don't have to be of the world, you know. So there's always going to be things going on in this world, you know, corruption, sin, temptation, you know, all kinds of things are going to be in the world, you know, but that don't mean that we have to be partakers of it. You know, we have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord. So we just have to be like that tree planted by the rivers of living water that won't be moved in spite of what the world is doing, in spite of what's going on in the world. We are continuing to do the things of God, you know, for the upbuilding of God's kingdom, you know, and we have to continue to just use godly wisdom and not get entangled with the world.
Amen, amen, amen. Elder Natisha, how are we wrapping up the world being an enemy of our soul?
I think, you know what, I think, again, the Bible is our source of understanding the things that are good for us and the things that are bad for us. And right here in the book of Romans 12, it tells us, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but that we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we are able to test and approve what God's will is for us, what's pleasing and his perfect will. And so I think the Bible is our roadmap to the things that are not good for us. But then just even outside of that, when we just, if you've lived life any amount of time, you recognize that making choices and aligning yourself with the things of this world only leads you to discontentment. All right. So when we, and it leads us to constantly being thirsty and hungry. Mm. We're never satisfied. We only find satisfaction in Jesus. And if you start looking for the world to determine your identity, then you've stepped out of the beautiful uniqueness that God has created for you, because you're trying to be something else that this world has dictated and this world tells you that you ought to be. Ah, that's good, Father. When you step out of understanding God and what God says about you, you step out of yourself. Mm.
Amen.
And so that's the danger. That's the danger with allowing the world to be, you know, the thing that we look and pattern our life after. It only leads to discontentment and comparison, thirst and hunger.
Amen. Amen, ladies. Amen. Oh, Pastor Kim, here we got one here. The enemy of our soul, defeat. Ooh, they're hitting us with some good ones this morning.
Did you say defeat?
Defeat. D-E-F-E-A-T.
Oh, defeat.
Defeat.
Oh, yes. Yes. Defeat. Yes. 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 And that's what the enemy does. Again, you know, he wants us to be defeated, you know, because he's killing and he's stealing and he's destroying. And when we allow for him to do those three things, that's when we will become defeated, you know, because we're not standing on God's word. Like Elder Natisha said, we have to continue to stand on God's word, his laws, you know. What does God tell us? God tells us in his word that we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him. And when we know what God, what his word tells us, then we can stand on it. And that's why we have to know the word of God. We have to hide the word in our heart so that we will not sin against God. We have to continue, you know, to be steadfast. We have to continue to walk by faith and not by sight, you know, because then when we don't, then we allow the enemy to defeat us. He has us so defeated that we miss out on all of the blessings and the things that God has for us. We miss our blessings. Why? Because we let the enemy broadside us and come and tell us what we can't do, what we can't have, what you never going to do. The devil is a liar. You got to serve him his notice and let him know, devil, you are a defeated foe. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You can't have my mind. You can't have my family. You can't have my money. You can't have my stuff. And when you continue to declare and decree the word of God, you will not be defeated. You are more than a conqueror.
Who got Pastor Kim started this morning? Amen. Amen, ladies. Amen. Amen. Oh, come on. Elder Natisha, that enemy of defeat.
Absolutely. I think, you know, what we heard just now in Pastor Kim, it's the fighter in us, the idea of this word defeat immediately for the survivor. It rounds you up. The survivor, they become activated when you hear the word defeat, because the Bible tells us, right? We got to always go back to the Bible. You know, I feel a preach just like a Pastor Kim, because the Bible says that I am a royal priest, that I am a chosen people, I'm a part of the royal priesthood. Defeat is not something that I've inherited. I've inherited victory.
Amen.
Victory belongs to me. So this idea of defeat, regardless of the mountain, God said that we have the power to speak to every mountain that comes in front of us and make it a low place. And even if we don't speak to it, and it's something that we have to overcome, God gives us the ability and the strength to overcome every obstacle. So this idea of defeat, no, there may be some times in life where God will use situations and circumstances in order to teach us lessons. God will utilize difficulties and obstacles. He'll utilize suffering for our good, but we are never defeated.
Amen. Amen.
I feel Second Corinthians coming on. Second Corinthians tells us God, that we may be pressed on every side, but not destroyed. What would you say, Jesus?
Amen.
When we start recognizing, and this is why, you know, the witch is like, you got to know your word. Notice that when we start getting into that fight, you start talking about defeat. Pastor Kim started fighting. I start fighting. Lady Tamika's going to fight in a minute, because The first thing that comes up out of us is what the word says. The word has already declared in us that we are victorious. That we can be touched on every side, but we will never be destroyed.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Ooh, baby. The smoke is coming. Lady Tamika, how are we wrapping this thing up here? The enemy of defeat is the enemy of our soul.
Man, the enemy wants. That's his goal, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Mm-hmm. So if you can defeat me in my mind, I stop trying. I stop becoming the vessel that God has created me to be. I stop doing the things that God has gifted me for. I stop loving. I stop embracing. I stop finding. And so the enemy wants for me to just say, you know what, forget it all. I don't care about my child. So now we've got a generation that doesn't have a desire because me as mama decided, okay, no, it's not worth it. I don't want to fight anymore. The word of God says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So that means when I look at that child and that child looks at me as if nothing else matters and I don't care anymore, I continue to press towards the mark. That means I continue to push. When you're looking at me as if to say, Mama, I don't care anymore, I'll embrace you. I have to continue to cover you in love. I have to continue to fight for you when you're not fighting for yourself. I have to continue to press towards my spouse. And on those days when he's fighting at work, when he comes home, let's play. You know, let me embrace you. Let me cover you because at this point you're fighting physically out there in that world. You come back. If I have given up, who can I help? Who can I minister to? Who can I reach? Who can I embrace and say, you can do this? If I'm not pressing, then I can't help anybody else press. And when I go through it and I conquer all of those things, then I can tell that brother or that sister, you can do it. Come on, take my hand. Let's play. Let me have you push through it. Because the enemy's desire is that if I'm defeated, then my household is defeated. Those people that they come in contact with, there's no push. I can't push you if I've given up. And so the enemy's plan, again, is to kill, steal, and destroy. And if I can do any one of those, even if it's just the subtlest amount, then I've done my job, job accomplished. And we rebuke the enemy. And so that's our goal, that we continue to keep trying. Because the moment that you give up, job done. He's gotten his merit. And what have you gotten?
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. All right, I got another one for you. The flesh, the enemy of our soul, the flesh. Come on, Elder Natisha.
Yeah, the Bible tells us that in our flesh dwells no good thing, right? Our flesh, when we respond to our flesh, oftentimes we're impulsive. We are literally just trying to gratify its constant desire. It constantly wants, as I said before, this flesh is never satisfied. It always is looking for the next thing. Even it's so interesting because as a single person, you can be desiring companionship and you be thinking, oh, when I have my companion, I'm going to be this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. We're going to live happily ever after. Life is going to be grand. And then you get the companion and you're like, Father, please take him away. This flesh is never satisfied. This flesh is always wanting something else, and we have to tell it to be quiet. We have to be able to control it. We have to be okay with not operating in instant gratification. The flesh would have us just grabbing at things that's not good for us. It's in the waiting. It's in the denying of ourselves that we gain strength. It's in our ability to control our emotions, to control the way we're thinking about things that allow us to actually get further than if we just respond to this flesh. And I think that's such a very important lesson, that when we heed to the flesh, we jump into things and we jump out of things quickly according to how our flesh is leading us. But when we are careful, when we are denying our flesh, when we are waiting on the voice of God to lead us and to direct us, then we'll move in alignment with him, and that'll take us further than this flesh ever will.
Amen, amen, amen. Lady Tamika, the flesh, that big enemy of the soul.
I want to go to two scriptures, Romans 8 and 5, for those who live according to the flesh. Set their minds on things of the flesh. For those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on things of the Spirit. And the other scripture I wanted was Romans 8 and 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So there are so many different avenues where the enemy can get us in our flesh, you know. And what we don't recognize is when we give in to the flesh, we create seeds of discord. You know, let's put it this way. Let's talk about we're all adults here, so let's talk about sex. So now, you know, you're not even reading your word because now, you know, he's coming over, you know, and this is what you want to do. So now you don't have time for God because your physical body is now entrapped in that particular area. We can go into another area. Let's talk about food. There are certain things that we physically should not, you know, partake in, you know, because for us, okay, just because there's a bag of chips there doesn't necessarily mean that you have to eat it. You have to literally tell your body, no, you know, there are certain things that you know physically for your own physical body. You know, for some people it might be pork. For somebody else it might be something else. You have to decide what it is that the Lord has designed for your vessel. And if you continue to consume in that, now you've got high blood pressure. You know, I'm just giving an example of something that could cause an issue. You know, in your physical body, which limits your gifting, because now you've got to take care of this physical issue because of something that you've done in your flesh. You know, the other thing, some of the things that we look at, some of the things that we read, some of the people that we're attracted to, the people that we spend our time with, who are literally giving us things, information that's contrary to the word. We listen to that information, we feed on it, and after a while it becomes a part of us. So each time that we continue to allow the flesh to ride, then we're causing seeds that we don't realize. It's just a small thing after a while. Now you've got a whole big, you know, bush or a tree that is created, and you didn't even recognize it because when it was a seed, you didn't cut it down. When it became a little, small, little thing, you didn't cut it down. Now it's a big, huge tree that you need help to pull out. And so, you know, we need to catch it in the very beginning, which is why we pray to God, God, please help me in this. In those areas that I can't see, cut those avenues off. When it's a seed, pull it out so that it doesn't become a tree that I need help to get rid of.
Right, all right, amen. Pastor Kim, the flesh. Talking about that flesh.
Amen. When you think about the flesh, you know, I think about, you know, in Romans 1, it tells us, you know, how we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, you know, because constantly we have to keep our flesh under subjection, you know, and the flesh wants to be pleased. The flesh want to go where it wants to go. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do. It want to say what it want to say. But that's why it's important to live a consecrated life. You know, we have to constantly fast and pray. You know, we have to stay in God's presence because you got to die daily. That old man wants to come back, you know, those fleshly ways, you know, want to come back, those fleshly desires, they want to come back, and they will come back if you are not allowing yourself to stay close to God and keeping presenting your body a living sacrifice. You know, it's all, and that's that, oh, Shonda, that's the whole key right there, willing to be that sacrifice. You know, Jesus sacrificed his life. You know, he sacrificed because he already knew that we were going to be fleshly driven. He knew that we would be born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He knew, hallelujah, that we would be as people. He knew that we would grow weak and that we would need him. And that's why he said, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave y'all comfortless. I'm gonna send back the comforter that will teach you all things. And this is why we have to be taught how to keep our flesh under subjection. We have to be taught how to continue to stay in the presence of God. God, and again, it's back to the word, being our basic instructions before leaving earth. We need to be instructed through the word of God on how we can keep this flesh. Because in this flesh, that flesh, it'll get out of control.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Hold up. How did I get here? Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. What made me, you know, I don't cuss no more.
Mm-hmm.
I done messed around and then cussed him out because somewhere, oh, God, you You left a door open. You left a crack open. See, you can't leave no place for the devil to come in, because if you let him ride, he's going to want to drive. He will take free. Okay, I'm gonna cut it off because I didn't got excited now. I didn't got excited.
Oh, it's okay. This is a safe place to get excited, Pastor Kim. Safe place. Oh my goodness. Yeah. You know, ladies, you have done a fantastic job with relaying how the enemies of our soul, sin, the world, defeat, and the flesh. How we can let it creep in and how we can wake up. And, you know, there's my tagline, how we get here. Well, here's what I want you. You got a few minutes, and I would love for us to talk about ways to defeat. You know, we talked about defeat. Now it's our turn to defeat. And one of the ways they say we can defeat the enemies of our soul is to work with enthusiasm. Be enthusiastic about what you do. We're going to start with you, Lady Tamika.
It is important, you know, and a lot of things that we need to do, we need to perform it as though we're doing it to the Lord. And I'll say this, you know, there are times when things happen, especially let's just talk about our households, you know. Let's say family members or your spouse said something that offended you. And as opposed to, you know, attacking your individual that you're married to, you respond as though you're doing it to the Lord. Do you know how much of a blessing you can create in your household? We often talk about the environment of your household. I'm not doing it because of you. I'm doing it because I am a child of God, and my response is to do it as to the Lord. And you also can cause a peaceful environment by doing it as though you're doing it to the Lord. So he angered you or she angered you. Kiss your spouse before they leave the home, you know, and that automatically disperses the hand of the enemy because you're doing it with enthusiasm. Clean the houses, I mean, from the top to the bottom, from the roof to the floor, from door to door, you know, as though you're doing it to the Lord, which adds a blessing to the house, because when that spouse comes in, oh, my gosh, it's beautiful. You know, you get to talking. You know, it causes a conversation. It changes things around, and it changes the atmosphere. So get your enthusiasm together so that you can change the atmosphere in your home, you know, in your workplace. You know, it does really help.
Amen, amen. Pastor Kim, you know, to get these enemies of your soul defeated, work with enthusiasm.
Absolutely. You know, when you are excited about the things of God, because that's what I think about, the excitement, when I think about enthusiasm, you know, I think about, you know, excitement, you know. And I know that the joy of the Lord, it is our strength. And when you have a joy down on the inside of you, you know, it's such an unspeakable joy. It's like, you know, the things that you do, you're going to do them, you know, with enthusiasm, you know, with joy, you know, with excitement, because that is who you are, you're about, you know. And so what's on the inside of you, it will show on the outside, you know. The Bible tells us in the Word of God that they'll know us, the love that we have one for another. And when we have God's love in us, you know, then we become joyful. We begin to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and people will see it. People will see it. They'll know us by the fruit that we bear. They will know us, the love that we have, because of that enthusiasm, that love, that cheerful spirit that we have. It will begin to show in everything.
Amen,
that we
amen.
Do.
Amen, amen. Elder Natisha, how are we wrapping up work with enthusiasm?
With the word of the Lord that says that whatever we do, that we should do it heartedly, that we should do it with enthusiasm,
for the Lord and not unto men. And I think in doing so, what that does for us is it allows people to see that we are motivated, right? Like, so today's entire episode, I think you saw enthusiasm about this particular topic, and it is motivating. It's also attractive. And remember that you want to present yourself in a way that reflects the Father. And your enthusiasm about God, your enthusiasm about your home, your enthusiasm about your children, your enthusiasm about your leadership at work, your position, right? Whatever you do, it's unto the Lord, and people are watching you. You may be the only Bible a person will ever read, or you may be the only church a person will ever see. And so because of that, when you work with enthusiasm, you attract people to you to want to know more about where it's coming from. There is a light that is associated with being enthusiastic because it's a positive attitude. It's a positive mindset, and it is attractive. So be enthusiastic so that you can attract people to who you are, and then you can point to your Father and win a soul.
Amen, amen, amen. Ladies, I really like this one. You know, in order to defeat the enemy of our soul, protect yourself from ungodly confusion. Woo! Pastor Kim.
Yes, amen. God is not the author of confusion, you know. So where confusion is, that's where you don't want to be. You know, like you were talking about, you know, the world, you know, you have to separate yourself, you know, from people that are not on the same path that you're on. You know, you don't want to be around people that are dealing with, you know, confusion and chaos and all of those different kind of things. You know, we're supposed to be a light in a dark world and continue to let our light so shine that men can see our good works so that our Father could be glorified in heaven. So when it comes down to confusion and things of that nature, those things are of the enemy. You know, so again, it goes back to not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And once we become a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away, new things become new. When we're walking in the newness, we knew that confusion and all of that ungodly stuff when we was back in the world. But now that we are not in that place, you know, we can flee from all of that stuff. We disassociate ourselves from confusion and the things that are of the enemy.
Amen, amen. Elder Nitesha, we need to protect ourselves from ungodly confusion.
Absolutely. I just, because I think that this scripture, first of all, we want to emphasize that literally everything that you need to understand about how to live this life is found in the Word of God. For the people who say that the Bible is boring or that it is not relevant, you are not reading it. Because everything that we need
Amen.
To understand
Amen.
About how to live this life is in the Word of God. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What
Amen.
You have learned
Amen.
And received and heard and seen in me, saith the Lord. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The Word of God already answers the question for you. To focus on anything outside of what he has taught you, what he has showed you, what he has revealed to you, what he has spoken to you will ultimately lead you to a place of confusion, because when you start trying to mix, and God has been dealing with me about this idea of mixing what God says with the ideas of the world,
Amen.
We start trying to mix it, we start trying to make it all blend together, make it all fit together, it doesn't. They are separate. It doesn't.
Amen.
And that is
Amen.
What leads us to this place of confusion. And you want to be clear, because what you think, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So what you got going on in your mind is what is happening in your heart, is what is happening in your emotions, and it shows up in how you function
Amen.
On the outside.
Amen.
If you are confused in your mind, you will have confusion in your heart. You will have confusion in your emotions, and you will be confused in your choices. You see? So we've got to keep our minds steady on the things of God.
Amen. Lady Tamika, wrapping this up, protect yourself from ungodly confusion.
I want to caution anyone who has that mindset that, oh, it's just, you know, it's just a little, you know, it's just a little this, or it's not that bad, or it'll be all right. When you find yourself saying statements like that when things are going on, it's almost as if you're condoning the behavior of what people do, what people say, how people act. And when you don't stand for God, you will find before too long that you're unfazed by those things, and you'll get to the point where you'll sit amongst them. You should feel uncomfortable in places like that when there's chaos and when there's all kinds of confusion. And the fact that you don't and that you're comfortable should cause you to caution yourself. It should cause you to take some time with the Lord and say, why do I feel comfortable? Is it the things that you're watching? You know, certain shows where people are always arguing and bickering, and now you sit amongst those people, and either you condone it by not saying anything, or you help to continue to allow it to procreate. So you decide to go and sit and talk and gossip with this one and then gossip with that one. You actually are condoning it, and you're becoming a part of it. And so when you don't feel when you feel comfortable in a setting like that, you really need to seek the Lord and ask the Lord what it is that I need to do so that I can be more like you, and not allow something to continue to go further, but allow the Lord to change you. And once he changes you, then he'll change the lives of the people that you affect.
Amen. Ladies, you have done a fantastic job as always. This has been one enthusiastic conversation. And we give God thanks for all of your contributions, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You too.
Amen.
Thank you.
Too.
Well,
wonderful
thank you.
Day, ladies.
Love you, ladies.
Thank you.
Love
thank you.
You.
Thank you. All right. Well, we've reached the top of the morning of our Wednesday, and it's time for our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlene Beard. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. How are you over there?
I'm okay. Sinus is a little bad, but I'm good. I'm here. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So, Pastor Charlene, we've been talking about the enemies of your soul. And one of the things that I came across when we talked about how to defeat the enemy was staying, you know, they want you to stay armed at all times. That's a suggestion. And that's the one that I equated to faith over fear this morning. So what do you want to give us when we talk about the enemies of our soul and how to stay armed at all times in order to defeat those enemies?
Yes, you got to keep on the armor of God at all times. Stay in prayed up at all times. Always know that God has you and he is always surrounding you, and keep yourself surrounded around people, amen, that will keep you lifted up, you know, because we know that when we go into the battle, amen, that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. We always know that we're going to have victorious. We always know that God is not only with us, and he also will point out people to be with you during the time that you need to have the fight, amen. And we know that we have to continue to press forward and being able to show that no matter what comes upon us, that we are more than conquerors. We are able to continue the fight. And sometimes he even allow us to be in it alone, meaning physically alone. But we know that he is with us, you know, and being able to show people that no matter when the enemy come up against you, that you are ready for whatever. You just plant your feet and stay flat-footed. I say that all the time. Stay flat-footed and let the enemy know no matter what dart you throw, it doesn't matter because I know that I'm going to defeat it, and I just bounce it back off onto them, send it back to them, amen, where that you know that God has not only, you know, protect your mind, protect your heart, you know, because most of the time people will try to talk about you, you know, and then they're going to expect you to get weak. Don't never let the enemy see you come be weak. Don't let them see you sweat. That's what they say. Don't let them see you sweat. So they always know that you are able to pull through, you know. That just holds on into where that people will think that you have fear, you know. And we know that the Lord doesn't give us the spirit of fear. He gives us power, love, and a sound mind. We just got to trust in God and being able to know that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We got to also always remember that we are no longer a slave to people, places, or things, you know, and we're that we can be overcome all things, you know. So he knows that whatever that we need, that we are able to do it with him because the Lord is on our side, and we don't have to have that fearful, you know, and thinking that we are defeated. No, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. We'll be able to press forward and being able to know that even if he wants to try to come up and kill you physically, you know that if you in the Lord, you know that you shall live on the other side as well. So we already know that his love will conquer all things. And because he loves us so much, he gives us all that we need on the inside and on the outside. So you just continue to press forward and knowing that all things are possible to him that loves the Lord, and be able to know that we can do that. The word tells us what we need to do, when we need to do it, and what we need to be able to conquer it, any kind of situation, circumstances, because the word is real and the word is true. So know that you can be able to trust and believe in him, because by faith we are able to do all things, and we know that that's the love of Christ that is with us. And that's my faith over fear before my voice goes out again.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene, for your faith over fear contribution today, and we pray you have a blessed day. Feel better.
You do the same. You do the same, my love.
Thank you. Thank you. Ooh, we have gotten our fill today over, you know, this enemy, the enemies of your soul. I really didn't. I underestimated this thing here. Well, we've come to the time where we hold hands and we hold hearts. And we go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, O God. The breath of life was breathed into us today, ushering us into your beautiful Wednesday morning. How can we say thank you, God, when our bodies are wreaked with pain, or we're just simply physically tired, when our minds are tired, when emotions are worn out, and we still have to fight. We still have to fight. against all the enemies that surround us. And we give you thanks, oh God, that when you wake us up, there's a level of enthusiasm that says, I shall live and not die. That you brought me into this day so that I could be victorious against anything that I'm up against. We're so grateful to you, God, because there are so many things that we need that we don't have a clue of. We just don't even think about. We've just functioned without these things. And we're thankful and we're grateful to you today because you always, always deal with all of our needs. And it's you who get us through the day. You know, some people dread, you know, this Wednesday and how am I gonna make it, and oh, you know, I got two more days left, and you know, I'm just tired already. But we greet you, God, with a level of enthusiasm, thanking you for just conquering all of the enemies that face us from day to day. And you have taught us greatly, as the ladies have said this morning, you have taught us greatly how to move forward, what to do, what not to do. And we're so, so grateful, because we would not know what to do if it were not for you. We couldn't function if not for you. We wouldn't know what it is to want to live, truly live, if it were not for you. We thank you, God, for introducing yourself to us in a special way, that it allows us to wake up every day with a mind to defeat, with a mind to put behind each and every one of us just those things that are not in you, of you, or about you. We thank you, God, for these ladies who have really expounded on this topic today, that they not only talked about it, but they breathed life into it with such a level of enthusiasm and joy, with such a level of tenacity, and there was no fear in talking about you. Thank you. Because they've inspired somebody today. Somebody was dying on the vine. But after they heard what the ladies had to offer today, we ain't got no time to die. We got to fight. We have to wake up every day grabbing onto you, determined not to let go, take you with us through our day as our sword and our shield. And we thank you, God, for just even introducing that concept to us. And for those who've already heard it, God, that reminder that we need it today. Oh, God, we are facing so many pitfalls in this life. But because there's a man named Jesus, amen, because there was a son that was offered up for our pitiful lives, amen, because there was a man who decided, I'm going to give my life up, amen. Thank you, God. How can we say thank you? How could we say thank you? How could we possibly say thank you for a love so strong that you keep on doing it and doing it and doing it? And we pray, God, for everyone who didn't think they needed this today, but it now was a level of life that was put inside of them, that gave them the courage, that changed their mind, that changed their evil heart, their wicked ways, that they realize I got to give God my life according to his way, not my own. Thank you, Father. Thank you for every breath you put into these ladies today. We pray that you give Pastor Charlene some relief, God. And we pray that you just move in everybody who's heard your word today. Let them go tell somebody and let that somebody tell somebody how great, big, and wonderful you are. That no matter what the enemy is, that enemy can be defeated. Because Jesus already did his job. Amen. So, Lord, we give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. And we ask you to take everybody through the day safely, energized, filled with enthusiasm to serve you in a way they never considered. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My goodness gracious. It's been something else here today. And I'm so grateful to God for blessing us with such a word. There was something that really caught me. And I thought about the world. The enemy of our soul is the world. And it made me think about how we as Christian people are so busy trying to be like the world that we don't realize that we're at enmity with God. You know, you try to shove things down people's throats. You try to make people accept things because you've accepted things, because you've compromised. But everybody ain't there. Because, see, I've come to the point in my life where I'm determined to give Jesus my life. And I don't care what it takes. I'm not compromising with this world. I'm not joining this world. And I'm so glad that God has my eyes so open that, you know, I'm not falling underneath, you know, anything that is going to make me sidestep my life in the Lord. And what I'm watching is a world that, a Christian community, that you're not happy unless you're intermingling with this world, that you're comfortable with this world, that you're part of the confusion of this world. And when we are called to take a step to clarify and to make a distinction and to be separate, we fail, and we fail miserably because our flesh hasn't stepped away. Our flesh still wants to be in partnership with this world. Our flesh doesn't want to be more like Christ. It wants to be more like this world. This world is filled with pride and sin and wickedness and a lack of shame. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing when God gives you such a clear view of what you no longer want to be like. Amen. Oh. Gives you a snapshot of where you no longer want to be. And, you know, you don't ever have to be in that particular place, but just at enmity with God, just at opposition with God, you know, just taking into consideration that some of the things that we do is not pleasing to God. That's where we've decided, I don't want to be anymore. I know I may not always get it right. I know I'm not perfect. But I want God to come back. He's sending his son to find a church that is without spot or wrinkle, and he chooses me. Because I said, I am on the Lord's side. And I don't have anything to do with this world. Like the ladies have said, you know, we're in this world, absolutely. But we don't have to be of this world. And I'm watching so much compromise go on till it's disgusting. It's such a turnoff to me. And like I said, we ain't talking about the unbelief. Nah, not them. Because my grandmother used to always say, why are you mad at the enemy's people? Aren't they doing what they're supposed to do? And I used to laugh at her all the time when she used to say that. Because it made every bit of sense. We'd be all twisted and mad. And now we realize that, you know, they're not who they supposed to be. Who they say they belong to. You just say, I belong to Christ. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because when the time comes for you to be tested, when the time comes when you need to reveal whose side you're on, oh, you really show which side you're on. And we're going to have to step up to this plate and really show this world who God is and what God's about. You know, we talked about yesterday, you know, the Kiara Sheard and her new marriage and how the Christian community was up against her because she took her mom's advice not to invite women into her home with her husband. You know, what's wrong with it? And, you know, the world has told us that we can't trust our Christian men. No, the world didn't tell us that. The Bible told us that. That there is no temptation that is out here that is uncommon to man. That he didn't say no Christian man or unbeliever. And it's not just a male. Just man. Female, male, it doesn't matter. But people are going to be tempted. And sometimes you don't even realize you have a weakness for something until it's right in front of your face. You don't even realize that you would step into that zone until it's right in front of your face. And you have to call on the name of the Lord. Well, guess what? Everybody ain't calling on the name of the Lord in time. But we're going to have to make sure we don't set things up. You got to be wise. You don't want to put yourself or your husband or your children into harm's way. But it's the Christian community that beats us up all the time because they're not ready. Because at the end of the day, they're not ready. They're not ready to accept what true Christianity is, to be like Christ. Christ was frank, blunt, and upfront, period. And if you're like that, now you all, oh, you're not of God, and, you know, you should do things a little better. No. She took the advice of her mother, who, like I said, been in a marriage of many a decade. And maybe she knows something that she never openly said. Maybe it happened to one of her sisters. How do we figure this all out? But we want to make sure that we don't attack one another. We want to make sure that these enemies of our soul, sin, the world, defeat, the flesh, that they will not take over our lives, that we would see it coming. And we're so busy holding on to the word of the Lord and we're being faithful to him that we do not fall prey to these pitfalls. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my ladies. Oh, they were fantastic. And we give God thanks for their lives and their ministry. We thank you, our listeners, for being right there and being a part of our morning. And please, please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares. With Therapeutic Thursday, I love you.